Thank you for that singing. That was wonderful. What is faith? I feel, in a sense, this might be even a little bit of an unofficial sequel to Frank's sermon probably about 2 months back. You talked about what does it mean to believe. And faith and belief have a lot of similarity. In Luke 17, 5 and 6, we read that the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus said back to them, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea.'" And I was going to say, I don't feel like I got faith to just tell a tree to move like that. But that's the kind of faith Jesus promised us if we had faith. And how many of us wonder from time to time, how do I get more faith? How do I grow in this? How do I fully understand this? Hebrews talks about faith in a really important way. In Hebrews 10, just before we get to our text, it says, "For yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith." That was Hebrews 10:38. It's very similar to the righteousness and the faith that God talks about in Genesis 15, where it says that Abraham believed God, or he had faith in God, and God counted that to him as righteousness. The Bible makes it very clear that we need faith, and Hebrews is a great place to go to find that. So quick review on what Hebrews is. Hebrews is a book written for the Jews, proving that Christ had superiority over all things. That's really what Hebrews 1 to 7 is. Hebrews chapter 1 to 7. It shows the superiority of Christ over all things, over angels, over prophets, over priests. Hebrews 8 to 10 shows us that Christ is the author of the new covenant, a covenant in which salvation is received not by keeping the law, but by grace. And Hebrews 10 starts to be that point where it explains what faith is. And then Hebrews 11 is literally a biblical history of the Old Testament on what faith is. I heard it said recently, the Old Testament is the context of the New Testament. And the New Testament is the commentary on the Old Testament. That was something that Dr. Ray Ortland said. But I feel like Hebrews 11 is just a super concise commentary of the faith of all the heroes of the Old Testament. A great place to go to look at faith. I don't want to exhaust this tonight. There's a million passages we could go to. But I do want to hit on a few things. And what I want to do with what faith is have a few clear, concise statements to bring this all together. And the first one is this, to help us understand what faith is. Faith is the noun, and believe is the verb of the same word in the Greek testament, translation of the New Testament. And for me, I didn't even realize this until recently. This is actually something that Pastor Tyler shared. And for me, all of a sudden, a bunch of things just clicked. I knew it, and at the same time, just made a lot more sense. Think of the word run. I'm running down the street versus running is part of my morning routine. It's the difference between a noun and a verb. And in English, we use two different words. But in Greek, faith and believe have the same word. And it's this idea of absolute confidence or trust. A few verses that explain this. I'll just let them go for you. One of them, a very common one of believe, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. There's more that you can read there. Another one, so again, the Bible uses believe a lot, and it also uses faith, and these two are very much connected. Okay. Sorry, I've lost my place a little bit here. Okay, so the first part of that that helps is to understand that faith and believe is the same word. The second point that helps me to keep this a little bit connected is that If we look at Hebrews 11, and we're going to read through it in just a moment here, but as I read through this, I want you guys to think about this. Is Hebrews 11, the chapter of all the heroes of our faith, is that a story of people who thought about interesting ideas? No, it is a history. It is a testimony of people's behavior. Yes, they thought something, but Hebrews 11 is a testimony of people's behavior, not their thinking. So what I'd like to do is we're going to read through the whole of Hebrews 11. It's an amazing piece of scripture. Keep that in the back of your mind. These are stories of real people who lived through real struggles and real times, and they had faith in God. Before we read, let's pray. Lord, this is your word, and we've come to learn from you. We want to read your word and understand what it means. So, Lord, would you take out words from my mouth that I shouldn't be saying? And would your spirit open our understanding to hear what your word has for us? We pray these things in your name. Amen. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what was seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before him being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sands which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and when he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son, it was he to whom it is said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac also blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill temperament with the people of God rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more can I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And may God bless the reading of his word. What an amazing passage that is. There's a mental picture that helped me put this together, and I'd like to share it with you. If you will, imagine faith as a coin. And on a coin, there are two sides, both with an important part to it. Verse 1 of Hebrews 11 is what I would picture on the first side of that coin. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Depending on your version of Scripture, the words used to describe faith are words like confidence or conviction in something. Other versions describe it as substance or reality. These are not light, wishy-washy words. These are words you would use like in a court case. Heavy words with full of meaning. Verse 1 isn't describing a mental state that I need to muster up or get myself into somehow to make myself feel sure about this thing I can't see or can't really be sure about. It's not, I think this is true and I think it makes sense. It's, I know this is true. It makes sense that this is true. And there's no reason to doubt that this is true. And what is this thing that we're so sure about? What is it talking about? It talks about things hoped for. Things we don't see or experience in our current present reality. For example, what is our present reality right now? It's dark outside. Well, not in here. It's light in here, but it's dark outside. And what do we hope for? The light of tomorrow morning. I don't think we want to have a week of darkness. That would not be fun. But we don't see morning's light, and we don't have proof that tomorrow morning will be light. But all of us would believe that it is coming. It makes sense. We saw it was just light about a few hours ago. We have seen countless sunrises. Science shows that the sun goes around, that the earth goes around the sun. That was old science, that the sun went around the earth. But science shows that day comes. Faith starts with our thinking. We believe something to be true and reasonable. And this is the first side of the coin, believing in reason. Let me give an example of this in my recent life. It was about half a month ago. The date was October 28, and I looked at the weather on my phone, and it said it was going to snow on Friday. And I went inside and told Julia I was going to change the tires into the winter tires. She didn't come back to me and says, "What are you talking about? That's dumb." No, she didn't say that. She said, "That sounds great." What was the weather on Wednesday? It was about 12 degrees. It was sunny. It was beautiful. My current reality did not need snow tires. I also couldn't prove that it was going to snow, but I was certain that it would. And just like my decision to change my tires begins with reason, so does our faith. It's not blind, it's not foolish, but faith doesn't stop there. Was it faith when it snowed on Friday and I was safe? No, that was the result, that was the reward of my faith. Was it faith when I actually put the snow tires on? Yes, that was me acting in faith. Now, did faith start with me just putting on snow tires? No, it didn't. Faith started with me thinking about the weather report, thinking about the season, thinking about safety on the road. I didn't find myself puttering around that afternoon and suddenly I'm drilling the tires on. Even though I wasn't seeing or experiencing the cold and the snow, I was confident in its coming. Was faith when I believed it was going to get cold? No. And that's why there's another side of the coin. Faith begins by believing in reason, and faith advances with obedience, with action. Some friends of mine are here with us tonight, and in a few weeks they're going to get married. They're going to be making vows to each other. And what, yes, amen, we can clap for that. And what Melanie is going to promise to Levi, he believes is reasonable. And what Levi promises to Melanie, Melanie believes is reasonable. And as soon as they say those vows, are they faithful? Technically not yet. They've literally said it. They are considered faithful as they live out those vows. You are considered faithful when you follow through. They believe that the other person will keep that, but they are considered faithful when we follow through. Biblical faith is believing in reason coupled with obedience and action. Faith isn't a mental game we play with uncertainty. Faith begins as a mental activity but ends in an experience that I have because of the choices that I am making. And when I live and act in faith, I begin to get a taste, a live experience in my life of the substance and reality of the thing I'm hoping for. Biblical faith is belief and action together, and that results in a life of faith. Remember what James says? You show me, I will show you my faith by my works. We do believe in something reasonable. It's not faith if it's not. And we do have to have action. It's not faith if it's not. If one of those two is missing, it's not real biblical faith. So for example, without side one, if we were not believing in something reasonable, it would be foolish. But we do believe in something reasonable, and it's not. Without side two, our faith is dead. Biblical faith is not foolish, and it's not dead. Now, where does faith come from? Believing in reason, obedience in action, does it come from within? The disciples were on to something when they said, "Lord, increase our faith." Their request was directed rightly. Yes, faith is processed and displayed in us, but faith doesn't begin or originate with us. Where do we get this ability to believe and obey? Ephesians 2 and 8 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Grace and faith are both a gift of God. We receive salvation by grace through faith, a faith that is given to us. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God." Faith is a gift of God. It says it comes to us by hearing it. We don't bring it within ourselves. It comes to us. Let me give an example of this. Food. It passes through our body and makes us strong. It gives us energy, makes us healthy. It's intrinsic to our survival, yet food doesn't originate from within us. None of us would say that we create food from within ourselves. If food is reasonable to us and it's processed through us, just because we process it doesn't mean it comes from within us. It is the same with faith. Just because we have faith, or just because we live by faith, doesn't mean it comes from within us. It comes from God. Faith is a gift from God, and yet we also have a part to play in this. And this is how, when I was thinking about it, this is how it kind of came together. We said that on the one side of that coin, that believing in reason, and on the other side of the coin is obedience and action. Well, where does reason come from? Where does truth come from? Who gives us the ability to believe in those things? God does. Where does action come from? Who frees our hearts? Who has paid for that sin penalty? Who enables us to move? Who delivers us from the bondage of sin and death? God does. Both reason and action are part of the sovereignty of God. And at the same time, believing in obedience is the responsibility of man. God opens our understanding and reveals to us himself. And we have the responsibility to choose and believe in truth. God quickens our hearts. He calls us to himself. He sets us free from the bondage of sin. And we have the responsibility to respond, to choose and obey him. He does, like, without God, we're absolutely nothing. And yet there's still this responsibility we have to respond rightly to God. And faith is that cross point where God's sovereignty and man's responsibility come together. And while we must distinguish between the two, God needs all the glory he is due in that, at the same time, we can't fully separate the two. God is sovereign, man is responsible. How this miracle exactly works, I'm not going to try to go there and explain it fully. I don't even hardly know myself. I know it's a miracle. But that it works together, we know that and we can see that in Scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 8, is essentially this. God is the author of reason and the enabler of action. It starts with him. I choose to believe the truth and I choose to follow God because of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. It's a work of God. So we see that biblical faith begins with reason. It advances in action. It comes from God. And it's lived out in man. Now, what does faith look like? How do we see this in our everyday action? So we first see that something happens. There's if we look at Hebrews 11, we're going to go through a few of these stories. We see that life happens. There's a command. There's a promise. A disaster happens. They believe in something reasonable that is told to them, given to them. They act in obedience, and then they are rewarded. Let's look at verse 11 of Hebrews 11. This is about Sarah and the fact that she was able to have Isaac. Sarah, when promised a son by her own womb, because she believed that God who promised was faithful, she did her part to conceive. She had intimacy with Abraham. Was Sarah 100% certain that she would have a child? No. The reality was that she was far past her bearing age. But did she have reason to believe that God was faithful? Yes. What was the faith of Sarah? She believed God. She followed through. She was intimate with Abraham. And the result of the faith was that she became pregnant. Verse 29, Israel is at the Red Sea. They saw the waters part in front of them. And because they believed God would rescue them, they did their part. They walked through the walls of water to the other side. Were they 100% sure that they would make it through there alive? Maybe not. I don't know about you, but I've never seen water do that. And they probably hadn't either. But did they have reason to believe that God would rescue them and keep the waters parted? Absolutely. They had just witnessed 10 plagues devastate the nation of Egypt, and God kept his word every time through that whole thing. What was the faith? They walked through the water. The result of their faith? They were rescued. Verse 30, Joshua commanded to take out Jericho by very strange means. Don't think any of us would run around a building a few times and shout and expect it to fall down. That's literally what he was commanded to do. But he believed in God. He did his part. He led Israel around the walls of Jericho. And he did have reason to believe. He had heard all the stories. I think, you know, the age works out that Joshua probably would have been in his teens when he walked through the Red Sea. So he remembers those things. He remembers surviving in the desert by the hand of God, manna all the time. He did that mental math. He knew God had been faithful in the past. What was the faith in that situation? They marched around the wall. They blew their trumpets. And the result of their faith, the walls came down. Verse 33. It doesn't say exactly, there's a number of different things there, but it says there that they shut the lions, the mouths of the lions. That's a reference to Daniel. Daniel, when warned of a new, and it was a temporary decree on prayer, because he believed in God and knew that it was a sin to worship any other, he did his part. He went back home. He didn't appeal the law. He went right back home. He opened his window and prayed towards Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but I would have probably still prayed and just kept my window closed. He didn't do that. He continued his custom. Was he 100% sure that he wouldn't get punished? Maybe not. But did he have reason to believe that God would do what is right? He had seen God protect his friends already a number of times with the fiery furnace. He had had dreams, and already God had worked amazing miracles. What was the faith? He continued to pray and worship God. What was the result? Rescue from the mouth of the lion. Here's one in our context. We at Forest Baptist, we understand that the government has instructed establishments not to sing, and for legitimate concern. They're not thinking out of our evil. They've given us favor, but they would rather not that people sing. But because we believe that singing is a part of worship and that God commands for the proper worship of him, his commands transcend the rule of man. We do our part. We sing. Now we sing with mitigation. We're trying not to blow the roof off with our sound. We're wearing masks and things like that, but we still sing. And are we 100% sure that that will go negative for us? Or that it'll stay positive? We're not sure. The reality is there are fines for such things. But do we have reason to believe that what we are doing is the right thing? Yes, we know that God's word is inerrant, and we would rather obey God than man. And so what is our faith? We're singing. Well, the result of our faith, a time of corporate worship that is full, that is edifying and obedient to the word of God. But what if we are fined? What if Sarah would have not gotten pregnant? What if Daniel would have died by the lions? What if the walls of Jericho would have not come down? We love this book, this chapter of Hebrews talking about these heroes. But if you look at verses 35 to 38, those are all stories of people who were faithful and they did not receive that reward. Why not? Was their faith unreasonable? Was their faith dead? There are a few reasons why our faith may not be rewarded. One is that our faith is foolish. We talked about that. Faith is believing in something reasonable. We can have faith in things that don't make sense. We can have faith in, I have faith that there's a tree behind me. Well, probably not. That'd be foolish for me to think that right now. No, that's not a tree. That's a plant. But we can believe in foolish things. We can also not put our faith into action. But there is another way that this comes through. There's a third way that we may not be rewarded or see the results, and that is that our faith is still real and the reward is still coming in this life or the next. Let's think of the time frame in each of those previous testimonies that we looked at. For Sarah, the first time she got that promise that she would be for her, the mother of many nations. God promised it to Abraham. Obviously, she was going to be a part of that. The first time she heard that promise was 25 years before it happened. Later on, that was promised again to Abraham. 13 years later, God made a second promise. It was still another 12 years before she had Isaac. By the time she got that third promise, it was a year beforehand, and yet God still came through. Think of Noah building the ark. How long was it before the time God promised, build this ark, there will be a flood, and I will rescue you through the building of the ark? About 100 years. I've seen some different things, but it was many years. It wasn't a few days. Joshua, his faith about that specific command to march around the walls of Jericho, that was 7 days of marching around and blowing trumpets. And on the seventh day, their faith was rewarded. And all of these, we're seeing there's different timelines. Faith doesn't guarantee rewards and rarely gives us a timeline. God doesn't always give a guarantee that our faith will be sight in our lifetime. Sometimes he does, but he doesn't always. Verse 35 to 40 tells us of men and women who believed and trusted in the same God that Moses and Noah and Joshua and Daniel believed in. And yet they suffered and perished. Did their faith work? The author of Hebrews seems to think so. Hebrews 11 verse 39 says, "And all these," talking about those people that had just passed away, "all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised." It says there that they gained approval, but they didn't get what was promised to them. What was that promise? Hebrews 11:9 refers to that promise. It talks about it, and then verse 10 is the promise. "For he," that is Abraham, "was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." And it continues in verse 13 and verse 16. "All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." Verse 16. "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." A life of faith in Christ gains righteousness, which then approves us as heirs of the reward. And that reward is eternity with God. That's the promise of Hebrews 11. That is the eternal reward of faith. The reward we experience here on earth is nothing compared to the reward we experience in heaven. And eternity will be a place where we are made perfect and our faith is sight. Life forever in the presence of God, experiencing the goodness of God. And the rewards we experience here on earth as a result of our faith are meant to give us a taste of the eternal rewards that are coming. Therefore, when we are not rewarded in this life, and death comes without us tasting the fruit of our faith, that doesn't mean that our faith was in vain or unreasonable. When is that promise coming together? At the very end, 39b, I'll start there. They did not receive what was promised because God, having provided something better for us, so that they would not, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. God has designed, God has ordained that at the end of time, all the saints of history will be made perfect at the same time. So think of it. Moses and Abraham and Joshua are waiting up in heaven for us and those who will come after us. Just like Jody Ferguson's mom and people who have recently passed away and our little baby Julon. They are all waiting for us. When we go, we will be waiting for the next generation. And we will all be made perfect together at the end of time. So faith will be rewarded, and if we haven't tasted it, it's still coming. Therefore, let's test our faith and examine ourselves regularly. We don't want to have a faith that is foolish. We also don't want to have a faith that is dead. Are we living like what we believe about eternity is real? Is our faith alive? Many need to know the truth of the gospel. Our neighbors, our family, our friends, do they know this glorious hope that we have? We need to make sure that they know that. Tyler talked about faith this morning in John chapter 20. And John there uses the word believe. And we see that. And I feel that's a good verse to finish this off tonight. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And there we see that. These things have been written. That's the part that's been given to us by God. The word, the signs that the disciples saw, all given to us by God, so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that we may believe, we may understand that reasonable fact. And that by believing, there's the action part. There's the action, there's the obedience, there's the following. We may have life in his name. We may have eternal life. That is the reward of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word explains to us what faith is and shows us how to walk in faith. And Lord, thank you for extending to us both grace and faith and so many other things that we cannot create within ourselves. But God, you have reached down in your mercy and lifted us up to you that we may be a part of your story, giving you glory. We thank you for this privilege. Help us to walk out that faith all the time so that we may have lives that are not foolish and dead, but lives that are reasonable and alive. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Be with us as we go from here, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.